Okay, now this evening, 2 Kings 22. And I'll be using a portion of 2 Chronicles 34. You have to read both records to get the full story of what's going on. And from 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 34, I'm entitling the message, God Sent Revival and God Sent Reformation. God sent revival and reformation, and He did so with the Word of God. The Word of God was read, the Word of God was heard, and it had great effect. The Lord raised up a young king whose name was Josiah. Josiah. The Lord chose him. When did He choose him? He chose him in eternity unto salvation. The Lord chose him. The Lord blessed him with a tender heart and tender spirit, and the Lord humbled his heart, as it says in verse 19, because thy heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. The Lord blessed him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart after he had heard the word of the Lord. God gave him faith to believe the word that was written, and the Lord made him willing in the day of his power. There was kindled in the heart of Josiah a revival that came from hearing and reading the word of the Lord. And that brought about in Jerusalem and the cities round about a great time of reformation. He went on a campaign to stamp out every idol that every false prophet had erected, and he did so with great success. Now here's my thought for us. May the Lord be pleased to do this in our day and in our heart. Could the Lord send revival in our day? Could the Lord revive our heart in this day and cause us to hear His word and revive our hearts, which always leads to reformation and return to the worship of the Lord in spirit and in truth? You reckon God will send a revival in this day? I tell you what it would take. It would take the will of God, the purpose of God. But I know this, there must be a return to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not going to bless lies. He's going to bless His truth. He said, "Ye truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." A return to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from the very Word of God. And that's what we do. We preach the Word. We preach the Word. I thought of two scriptures about the Lord sending revival. Habakkuk prayed in his day. This is Habakkuk 3, verse 2. And here's what he said. O Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of Thy years. In the midst of Thy years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And then David prayed this in Psalm 85. Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Don't you often find in your heart a need for reviving and revival from coldness of heart? I do. David said, Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee, and show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation? Now, like in the days of Josiah's great-grandfather, Hezekiah, and to some extent, Manasseh, the Lord brought about the destruction of idolatry and returned to the proper way of worship of the true and living God. Now, it's quite amazing. When I thought about this, Hezekiah went on the same campaign to stamp out every idol of Baal. Remember? Now, it's just 40 or 50, 60 years later, and here they're right back to their idols. Right back to idolatry. The Lord brought about the destruction of idolatry in the days of Josiah and a return to the proper way of worship of the true living God. And He did so with the Word of God. Read over 2 Chronicles 34 later on when they instituted the Passover and worship God around the blood sacrifice. Thousands and thousands of rams and bullocks. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. No wonder some of the old writers called time of the law and under the law and the ceremonial law a slaughterhouse gospel. That's what they did. They slaughtered animal after animal, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. We've seen that all the way through, haven't we? The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin, but it pointed to substitution and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hezekiah introduced again the true and proper worship of the living God around the blood sacrifice upon the altar of God's choosing. God's altar in the temple. And we know that altar and that sacrifice always points to Christ our sacrifice. Christ our Passover. Christ who is our altar. You remember I told you the altar sets the sacrifice apart. He sets it, the altar sets the sacrifice apart unto God. Now, with that introduction, let's take a look at verse 1, 2, and 3 in 2 Kings 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Buscah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's what amazes. It's an amazing thing, in the sight of the Lord. This is God's testimony, God looking on his heart, and walked in all the way of David his father. He turned not aside to the right hand, nor to the left hand. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent unto Shaphan. Now, Josiah, 8 years old. God put him on the throne when he was 8 years old. Now, age is no problem with the Lord. Josiah, like young Samuel, how old was Samuel when Hannah took him to the temple and told Eli, he's yours. And God raised up a great, great prophet in Samuel. Josiah, like Samuel and David, David was the youngest of Jesse's sons. Matter of fact, he was so young, Jesse didn't even bring him to the house when Samuel went down there to anoint a prophet, remember? Josiah, like Samuel, like David, were young in years when the Lord called them to serve Him and to do His business. It's quite amazing, is it not? Even so, I thought about this. Even so, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said at the age of 12 years old in His humanity, a 12-year-old boy declared, I must be about my Father's business. And he went about his Father's business. Now, I thought of this scripture, and this is such an interesting chapter, Ecclesiastes 12. Jot that note down and read it sometime. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, because it speaks so much of what we're going through and the changes in this body and in this life. But it starts out, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now. Because here's the reason. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in my day. Old age. You talk to a lot of people in their older years. I think specifically of a dear friend of mine who was way up in years, faithful preacher of the gospel, and he has no pleasure in these days. He prays every day that the Lord would be pleased to take him home. And no pleasure in these days. But, oh, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, whether we are blessed to serve the Lord in our youth or in our old age, like Simeon in the temple, waiting for the consolation of the Lord, it's always a great privilege to serve Him, is it not? In whatever capacity. No higher title than to be known as the servant of the Lord. I want you to put that on my tombstone. the servant of the Lord. You know why that's such a high title? the Lord Jesus Christ, God said, "Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." The Lord kept Josiah, it says there, he walked in all the way of David his father. He turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. The Lord kept Josiah from turning and declining either to the right hand or to the left hand. He wasn't led astray. He kept his heart, his mind focused upon the Lord. He was kept by the power of God. Isn't that the essence of saving faith? Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to the right hand, not to the left hand, but looking, looking. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God, there is none else." We must always remember this always springs from the fountain of the Lord's sovereign purpose. God chose Josiah. He kept him. He gave him faith. He made him faithful. This always springs from the fountain of the Lord's purpose, the wellspring of His everlasting love, for He loved His people with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, He does draw them to Himself. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seems good. It seems good in His sight. Now, hold your place there and then find 2 Chronicles 34. And we'll pick up the story here in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 34. And here we see, for in the 8th year of his reign, okay, he'd be, what, 16 years old, right? 16 years old. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. He was a man like David, a man after God's own heart. And in the 12th year, when he was 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And he went on a terror. He crushed and smashed every idol he could get his hands on. Not only in Jerusalem, but he went to the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and Naphtali. And he took a mattock and he just went to town. I'm sure he had a whole army. He led a whole army of idol killers. Smashed them all to pieces. Now, a couple thoughts here. When Josiah was just 16 years old, and while he was yet young, this phrase caught my mind, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. That doesn't happen naturally. That happens only supernaturally by the will and purpose of God. Now, don't turn because you're familiar with this scripture, but over in Psalm 27, in Psalm 27, when will a sinner seek the Lord? In Psalm 27, verse 8, when thou, oh, he said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." When will a sinner seek the Lord? When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto me, oh, thy face. Thy face, where the glory of God shine? In the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in another psalm, Psalm 105, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Now, His face is His person. It's His glory. The glory of God shines in the face of Christ. And then Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. In the 8th year of His reign, while He was yet young, He began to seek after the God who is God, the God of David, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And then it says in that third verse, and in the 12th year, He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images, and to break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, the images that were on high above them, He cut down and the groves and the carved images and molten images, he brake in pieces, made the dust of them, strode them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed them, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars. He dug up the bones and burned them of those false prophets and to desecrate their altars. Now here's what caught my attention was in verse 3. He began to purge Judah. Purge Judah in the 12th year of his reign. When he was 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem and the cities of Manasseh, cities of Ephraim, Simeon, and Naphtali from the idols in the land. Now here's a word that caught my attention. That word, purged. Purged. He purged. Now, what does that word remind you of? When I think of that word, I think of this one scripture. Hebrews 1, verse 3. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord Jesus Christ as the king. And Josiah here, all these kings that did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, they're all pictures and types of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. The king in that day purged the land of idolatry, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our King and of Kings and Lord of Lords, has purged our sins from us, and he did it with his own blood, putting away our sin. And he caused us to, when he purged us, he caused us to turn to God, remember, from our idols, to serve the living and true God. That's 1 Thessalonians 1:9. We turn, he causes us to turn to him, and then to turn from our idols. Now, look back over 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22. And we'll stay right here now in 2 Kings 22. In the 18th year, look at verse 3 now. In the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shatham and Azaliah, the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered, and deliver it to the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, to repair, the last part of verse 5, to repair the breaches of the Lord, unto the carpenters, the masons, the hewers of stone. And they trusted one another. There was no reckoning made of the money. They trusted one another. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, he was 26 years old, he began the ambitious process of repairing the house of the Lord. Now, while this process was going on, repairing the house of the Lord, that's the temple. That's that magnificent structure that Solomon built, and we studied all that. Hilkiah, verse 8. Now, here's what happened. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, and Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan. Now, don't turn, but if you want to jot this reference in 2 Chronicles 34:14, it says, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So no doubt what this is referring to. It's referring to the written word of God given to Moses while they were repairing the house of the Lord. Now, they did not know that the book of God, the Word of God, was in the temple. It was actually in the Holy of Holies. We'll see that in just a minute. Hilkiah the priest made a tremendous discovery. It was the greatest discovery in that day. Better than any gold mine. Better than the discovery of a new world. It was the best discovery they ever could have discovered in that day. The Word of the Lord. And Hilkiah said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book. I found the book given by Moses. Now, as I said earlier, most think it was the original handwritten copy by Moses of the first five books in God's Word. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What a find. What a find. It had been so neglected for so long. I don't find this going on in the days of Uzziah, of Jehoshaphat, or of Hezekiah, those good kings. But here, the Lord in His purpose causes them to find His Word. What a miracle of the Lord's sovereign power to preserve His Word, the Word of the Lord that had been so long neglected and so long forgotten. It's a miracle. Now, hold your place here. I want you to read this one with me. Turn over here to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. And if you have the Cambridge I'm using, it's page 294. Deuteronomy 31. When Moses made an end of giving the charge to Joshua, he said in verse 23, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee, I will be with thee. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Now, we know what we're talking about there, don't we? That's the Ark of the Covenant. Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Now, it doesn't say put it on the inside. Put it on the side. I don't know how this was done. Some kind of a compartment on the side or something. I don't know. That it may be therefore witness against thee. Now, look at this. This is so foretelling, and we know that this is by the word and inspiration of the Lord. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Now, this is going back thousands of years from the days of Josiah. Now, watch this. Which you have been rebellious against the Lord, how much more after my death? What's amazing, isn't it? And here we see, I don't know, 1,000 years later, maybe 2,000 years later from the days of Moses to Josiah, they find this book that had been so long neglected. It's a miracle of God's power, is it not? That He preserved it through all those years of idolatry. Remember, our Lord said to those Jews in His day that Moses, that whole book, they found the book. Remember what our Lord said? Moses, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. That book, when Shaphan the scribe read it, and then he took it to Josiah and read it again, what did he see? In the book revealed, he saw the beauty and glory of Christ. The Bible does not just, some people say, well, you know, the Bible, well, it contains the Word of God. No, the Bible is the Word of God. It's more than just contains the Word of God. It is the Word of the Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable unto us. What a treasure we hold in our hand. We have such ready access to it, don't we? I mean, on our smartphone. I can be anywhere and pull my phone out and look at any scripture that comes to my mind. We have it in our lap, in the book form, and we have it on our computer. We can bring it up and dissect it and analyze it and point to a word and it gives us a definition, all these different things. You can use a concordance and look up a word and see how it's used everywhere in the scripture. It's amazing what we have this day. But let us not forget, it's still God's Word. What a treasure we hold in our hand, the written Word of God. I think of this scripture in Hebrews 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember Jeremiah said, isn't thy word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. His word tells us of his will of salvation. His word tells us of the way of salvation. His purpose in salvation given unto us. We learn all about who God is, who we are, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what he accomplished, and how God saved sinners all through his written word. He tells us about himself. This word of God has been neglected and forgotten. So many years there in Judah and Jerusalem, when the word was pushed aside, what happened? When the word was pushed aside and neglected and deemed unnecessary for instruction in the way of worship, where did it lead to? Idolatry. Idolatry and will worship. His word. He said, not one tittle or jot of the word will ever fail or shall fall. It lives and abides forever. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Oh, my friend, what a treasure we have. Of all that God has spoken, not one promise will fail. Not one word of warning shall fail. All shall be fulfilled. Promises lest we despair, warnings lest we presume. Believers, as believers, will receive His Word, as it is in truth the Word of God that effectually works in our heart. We reverence it as such, don't we? The very Word of God. It has God for its author. Holy men of old spake as they were moved, driven by the Word of God. He is the author of all Scripture. It contains the will of God, the mind of God, the testimony of God concerning all things in salvation through Christ. The volume of the book is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. You remember Luke 24, our Lord said, the risen Lord said to those two men on the road to Emmaus, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the thing concerning Himself. All about Christ, isn't it? You see, the point I'm making is this. You cannot make too much of the written Word of God because it tells us of the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus. The Lord in His marvelous power has given it to us and has preserved it all these many years. You think how many years it's been since they found that book in that day. And we're still reading it. The years that this ministry here has been established at Zebulun, 31 years now, 31 years this ministry was established by the Lord. The Word of the Lord has been read and preached from in every service. Not one service has the Word of God been neglected. And I hope it always will be true until the Lord ends this world. I was watching one of those crazy science shows on Earth Day, and they were talking about global warming, and they said it will be such an extent that billions of years down the road that the sun would be enlarged and it just suck all the planets into it and they'd be all burned up. Well, you know, in a way, the Word of God said the heavens are going to melt with a fervent fire. Oh, little did they know that they were what they were speaking was according to the Word of the Lord. I don't believe in global warming. I believe in global burning. God's going to burn this place up and make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But we make much of the Word of the Lord. Now, a couple more thoughts here and I'll let you go. Shaphan read the book, as it says down there in the last part of verse 8. Hilkiah the priest gave it to the book to Shaphan, and he read it. He read the book. I mean, the book is no good if we just carry it, set on the desk. Got to get in the book. Got to get in the Word and read it. Read it. And then he took it to the king. Verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book, that he rent his clothes. What an effect, what an impression of the word had upon his heart. And it does, it has that effect on the hearts of God's people. Josiah rent his clothes, signifying the rending of his heart before God for his sin against the Lord. Notice what he said, then the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam and Shaphan, Achbor, and all these men, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book. Yet I found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all which is written concerning us. The only way we know that we're guilty of sin against God is by His Word. By His Word. I thought of that scripture over in Romans 7. Paul said, I had not known sin but by the Word. And when the commandment came, sin revived, and it, I died. It killed me. Now, they sent, verse 14, Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor, Shaphan, these men went to inquire of the Lord for Josiah, and they went to Huldah. Now, I think this is most interesting, and I'm not sure. I know I don't. The only thing I can say about this, it was the Lord's purpose, because in that day was the prophet Jeremiah. In that day with the prophet Zephaniah, these great prophets, but the Lord chose this woman. Chose this woman. Huldah. I mean, how many people have heard the ministry of Huldah? An unknown woman, and yet mightily used of God. The point being, the Lord will use whom He will to proclaim His message. He used a jackass one time, didn't he? Balaam. I'm not comparing Huldah to a jackass. Don't get me wrong. But the point I'm making is the Lord will use whom He will. The Lord will use him whom He will. See, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The Lord has used in the past other women. Moses' sister, Miriam, Deborah, she was a judge in Israel, the mother of Samuel, Hannah, I think of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. How about Mary? You see, the Lord uses whom He will for His own purpose. Now, Huldah's message to Josiah was one of wrath and judgment, but of also one of mercy. Look at verse 17. Because you have forsaken me, she speaks with authority. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You tell that man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, I'll bring evil upon this place, verse 16, upon the inhabitants thereof, and all, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, have burned incense to other God, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Judgment, judgment, judgment. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Now here's mercy. Look at verse 18. But to the king of Judah. But to the king of Judah. Speaking of Josiah. Now, that word, there's a key word, isn't it? But God. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. But God. But God. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord Thus shall ye say to him. There is sovereign mercy, is it not? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel as concerning the word which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender. His heart was right in the sight of the Lord. Thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place, against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? The Lord hears our prayers. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave, thy grave in peace, and thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. God said to Josiah, I'm going to spare you of all this grief and all this evil and the destruction I'm going to bring upon this city. The Lord will bring judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem and will bring evil upon this place, but not upon Josiah. God dealt with him in the Lord Jesus Christ. Judged his sin in Christ. The Lord says to Josiah, he would not see or experience the wrath and judgment of God to come. That's all been settled in Christ. The Lord was pleased to remove him when he was just 40 years old. He died. You can read over in the next chapter. He was killed in battle. The Lord killed him and took him away from the evil to come. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now stay with me. I want you to see this right here. Isaiah 57. And here's the scripture. Here's the scripture. And the Lord is dealing with Josiah in a way of mercy by removing him when he's just 40 years old. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man lays it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. The Lord calls that one early. He's delivering him from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. The Lord does deliver his people. Now, may the Lord be pleased to cause us to hear his word, that we may be brokenhearted and humbled in his sight, and may the Lord be pleased to give us peace and grace in Christ to die like Josiah in the Lord. And God give us grace now and his glory forever for Christ's sake. And the Lord said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works. Their works don't precede them, their works follow them.